This is a song from an album titled The Christmas Story, featuring Bing Crosby, and we may be surprised by the story he tells.
They call me Johnny Appleseed. I've come to plant my seeds indeed. I've come to plant them in the ground. They'll blossom soon for miles around. Here's a seed planted deep. Seeds can earn their board and keep. Here's a seed, take good care. Soon you'll find an orchard there. An apple tree's a sheer delight. In spring, it's like a cloud of white. In summer, it's a cloud of green. Its shade'll make you feel serene. Here's a seed planted deep. Seeds can earn their board and keep. Here's a seed, take good care. Soon you'll find an orchard there. In autumn, you'll see overhead the apples now a rosy red. You pick 'em, they're sweet to eat. An apple, such a wondrous treat. Here's a seed planted deep. Seeds can earn their board and keep. Here's a seed, take good care. Soon you'll find an orchard there. Soon you'll find an orchard there.
And, cracky, sure enough, there right outside the cabin stood Johnny Appleseed. A pack of apples on his back. When I heard you chopping and clearing away that field, Johnny Appleseed told him, I figured I'd better hurry out here and give you a present. He reached into his pack and he took out an apple. Now you save the seeds from this here apple, Johnny told him, and when spring comes, you plant them. Then you hope, and they'll grow into trees, and they'll bear you the nicest fruit you ever did see.
Families all around the country listened to that tune, Johnny Appleseed, as part of an album titled The Christmas Story, featuring Bing Crosby, Johnny Appleseed, giver of gifts. Perhaps that characteristic is one of the reasons Dr. William Kerrigan says Appleseed was seen as St. Francis of Assisi and Santa Claus wrapped into one bundle. Dr. Kerrigan also tells us that most people first encounter the myth of the wandering apple tree planter in their childhood. No wonder, he says, because the tale is told in over 100 children's books, and Johnny remains a staple in elementary school curricula across the nation. Take, for instance, the Wilkes-Barre Area School District. In a posting on the district's website, we learn that on September 26, 2014, students at Kistler Elementary School celebrated the birthday of an American pioneer nurseryman who introduced apple trees to a greater part of Pennsylvania, Johnny Appleseed. Principal Ms. Serafini dressed and played the part of Johnny Appleseed as she read his story to the students. This interactive visit allowed the students to become familiar with this American legend while teaching the students about the importance of apple trees to the state of Pennsylvania. Students were offered a sample of different varieties of apples, taste-tested each type, voted on their favorite apple, and graphed their results. One item not mentioned in the posting is something that children might have been fascinated to learn. Before he was known as Johnny Appleseed, there are reports that John Chapman spent time right here in Wilkes-Barre and that he engaged in his work as a nurseryman while he was here. And there's a profile by Edward Hoagland in American Heritage that speculates Johnny could have left his home on the Connecticut path that settlers in his day would walk along, heading west toward the upper Susquehanna River, 200 miles away. Dr. Kerrigan cautions there really are very few details about Johnny Appleseed's life, but we do know his story is much richer than the legend that surrounds him. Johnny Appleseed and the American Orchard, A Cultural History, is the result of exhaustive research by William Kerrigan, Cole Distinguished Professor of American History at Muskegon University in Ohio. Like so many before him, Bill Kerrigan was caught up in the stories told about Johnny Appleseed when he was a child.
When I was a young boy growing up in an Ohio town called Chagrin Falls, Ohio, the first grade did an American history pageant, and as we were planning the pageant, the teacher was asking for volunteers for different roles, and she asked who wanted to be Johnny Appleseed, and I eagerly raised my hand. but I unfortunately did not get the role. The role went to a young man named Hal, and I have to admit, he did a great job. He flung those apple seeds with appropriate panache, and I ended up instead in the role of the pioneer husband on the Conestoga wagon, sitting next to the pioneer wife, which was not, as a six-year-old boy, the role I would really have preferred. So that was my first introduction to Johnny Appleseed, way back in first grade, like so many people learn about Johnny Appleseed in their elementary school years.
Dr. Kerrigan, now retired but very active as a bird conservationist, spoke with us on the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, and he reminded us about the power that theater has in introducing young people to history and to Johnny Appleseed. We heard, too, about the principal at Kistler Elementary School in Wilkes-Barre, who dressed as Johnny to get the students excited about Appleseed and his spreading Appleseeds far and wide. Dr. Kerrigan called his childhood experience at school a pageant, and in his day, and even earlier, presenting such historical pageants was popular in communities and not just in schools. And how do we describe such events? Mostly they were for the public. They were theatrical productions, even processions out of doors, with music, costumes, and historical characters. Now, we're not claiming that the Farm Arts Collective is about to present a Johnny Appleseed pageant, but there are elements of such spectacles here. Actors, costumes, music, historical characters, walking, if not processing, out into the farm to become part of the environment and the play. Dream on the Farm is a 10-year-long site-specific theater performance cycle produced in a collaborative way by FAC, led by artistic director and founder of the ensemble, Tanis Kowalczyk. Each play explores relationships between and among the arts, the environment, and all of us. This year, it is Johnny Appleseed, an historical fantasia. And Tanis stopped in at the WVIA studios to draw us into Johnny's story, to talk about how the Farm Arts Collective does what it does with Dream on the Farm.
This is play number 7 in the series. Sometimes we call it a decalogue. And this series, we committed to 10 years. In the year 2020, there was a lot of talk that we needed to keep our emissions down to 350 points per million. And we've surpassed that, sadly. And so this series, Dream on the Farm, was a response to having an environmental consciousness, you know, as we hurtle into the future, all of us, we're all moving at the same time, aren't we? And it was a response to that, so that each year that we were given to control our emissions, we wanted to build a performance that addressed our relationship to the land and the water and the air.
And in addition to being remarkable farmers and gardeners and all the things you are at Will-O-Wisp, you particularly are a consummate storyteller. So you can seize on a concept and turn it into a theater piece that is something that draws people in a way that is quite unusual.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to have a bit of a structure. You know, we gave ourselves this series to build 10 shows. And this year, our 7th, we decided to focus on Johnny Appleseed. And it's been really good fun to do it. We were awarded America 250 money through the National Endowment for the Arts. And so we wanted to think about how could we address America 250 and yet still keep talking about the land and ecology and our relationship to it. And so Johnny Appleseed was this perfect American hero that gives us a new story to tell. Like you say, we always are telling stories, different stories every year. It's a new performance that we create together, this ensemble of Farm Arts Collective. And so Johnny Appleseed has been our window into this year's performance. And it's really an interesting subject to study.
And you point out right away that he was a real fellow.
Exactly. We are having a lot of fun playing with mythology versus history, and we're doing a fun dance around the two in this performance. We're calling it Johnny Appleseed and Historical Fantasia. You see, there is not that much information that we have about Johnny Appleseed. We know where he was born. We know where he died. He died at age 70, I believe, born in 1774 in Massachusetts, lived in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, grew up there, and then went on to follow the expanding frontier into Iowa. I'm spending a lot of time in Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and then the Maritimes. And it's just like there's not that much we have. So we've had a really great time filling in the gaps of knowledge. But he actually, yes, indeed, was a real person as compared to, say, Paul Bunyan or Pecos Bill. Johnny Appleseed was named John Chapman at his birth in 1774.
Do we know why apples, why that became so central to his mission?
We don't really. I mean, we don't. You know, we're saying he's had visions. We know this. He was a follower of Emanuel Swedenborg. And Emanuel Swedenborg was a great scientist from Sweden and a naturalist and a spiritualist. But he was like a kind of polymath. And I think Johnny Appleseed was really inspired by the studies in nature and the body and science that Swedenborg wrote about. There was many volumes of his writings, but as well as he had a spiritual relationship to God and nature, and Johnny Appleseed also followed that. But why apples? You know, that's what we ask. What we're asking is, like, was he a naturalist and environmentalist? Was he a land developer? Was he using apples to get land? Because the Ohio Territory Company was giving land if you grew 50 apple trees. So there's that question we're asking in the play. We're asking, was he a missionary? Because he was a missionary for Swedenborgianism. So there's that. Was that driving him? Was it a drive for profit? He owned 1,600 acres of land by the time he died, even though he walked barefoot and was a very ascetic person and never really had a house anywhere. He was migratory. And he is so fascinating, actually. So we're asking all these questions. Who was Johnny? And he's played by three different actors as well. So we're telling a very atypical story about a very atypical person in our history. And so it's been good fun. It's been good fun. And I don't know, the answer of who was he continues to be the questions throughout, with like small scenes where we see examples of him being a landowner and selling land and selling his saplings, him trying to talk about Swedenborg in a kind of missionary situation, him going into a bar to talk about if you grow your own trees, you could make your own cider instead of paying tax to the whiskey sellers. You know, like, we see him as a businessman, as an environmentalist, as an ascetic saint-like person.
We're talking about the frontier before we get out to California and that way.
Yeah.
Ohio and Iowa and Pennsylvania, still the frontier in those years, right?
Absolutely. And some people said he had a real nose for knowing where people were going to go. So what he would do would be go out ahead of them, you know, caravans of settlers, plant nurseries along fertile land and riverbanks. He'd plant these nurseries, he'd get them going, and then they'd arrive and he'd sell the saplings to them and tell them, A, you can have some booze, you can make your own booze. But B, if you grow 50 trees on your land, you could own it. They'll give you the deed. So it's interesting, right? Like, what was his motivation? And in the end, you know, by the end of his life, he had started thousands upon thousands of different apple varieties, 10,000 apple varieties, because he didn't graft. He didn't want to graft. He didn't want to cut trees. He was a vegetarian. He didn't want to hurt anything. And so he didn't want to hurt trees by cutting them. And so he just grew saplings from seed. So that made the DNA kind of go wild. So apple trees really, really were a wild variety, literally tens of thousands of varieties. And so I feel like he is a really, truly, Johnny Appleseed is a quintessential American, such an individual. And that's something that I really want to say in this play, that America, Americans are so interesting and contradictory and full of ideas and action. And I think that he really embodies a lot of what is an American.
It's wonderful because you don't erase his complexity. He is complex and maybe even contradictory in some of those ways.
I love the contradictory in someone. Who's one and the same? You know, like no one, everyone is contradictory. We all are. And so that's the thing that's most interesting about him. And so prior to Johnny Appleseed and Historical Fantasia performance, we're installing a Museum of Curious History in our theater space on the farm. And we are producing this really interesting exhibition and experience for the audience to walk through this museum that really does show the history of that time, like all the inventions and patents of the time, all of the many religions that were being formed at that time. There was so many religions, from Shakers to Methodists to Presbyterians to Owenism, Calvinism, Campbellism, like there are so many different religions being formed then. Swedenborgianism was also one of them, which Johnny followed. We are also doing fun things, like we have an artist who created a plaster toe, and we're putting it in like a formaldehyde jello, and we're saying it's the toe that of Johnny Appleseed that he got frostbite and had to cut off his toe. So we're being really playful, if you understand. We're like really mixing some of this mythology around Johnny Appleseed and his life with real history, because we still don't know everything about him. So we've had to make some stories up. We've kind of gleaned from the facts a story of our own to tell. So we're indicating that playfulness with history and mythology with this Museum of Curious History ahead of the show. And after the show, people can peruse it and walk around the museum.
You usually take us out onto the farm. Is this part of this show?
Oh, yeah. The museum is at the beginning and the end, but the whole play is done on location in various fields and riversides at the farm. Absolutely.
Do you have apple trees on the farm?
You know, we started an apple tree or a small little like strip of apple trees that were miniature apple trees. But they're short and they're growing up along like a fence line. And so we have started it and they're taking their sweet time. So I didn't do the performance along that. It was not the right place for this performance this year.
And you always have appropriate music. How about this time?
This time we're having a lot of fun investigating folk music from the 1770s. And early 1800s, the time of Johnny. So we're looking at some music that would be coming over from England and the British Isles. So we've got some Scottish mouth music in the show. We have some original music that we've been writing as well. Melissa Bell wrote a couple tunes that are really good fun. We have, you know, This Old Hammer, Kill John Henry. We have got John Come Kiss Me Now, which is an old English song. And we're singing that at a kind of sweet, beautiful moment in the performance. So it's like a lot of traditional music throughout the piece, sung by the ensemble a cappella. We're really looking at just rhythm and the human voice for this particular performance, because it was of that time where there probably wasn't a lot of instruments around and people were using their own voices to tell stories and sing songs.
Because of the fact that we don't know much really about Johnny's history, are there any real characters with him in the play?
The narrator is a young woman named Rosalie Rice. And Rosalie Rice wrote an essay or an excerpt about having met Johnny Appleseed, when he would come through their town and her family would invite him to sleep on their floor. He would sleep on people's floors. He never wanted to take up space anywhere. And she wrote about remembering him without shoes, and that he would give her ribbons for her hair, and that he was a really, really sweet man that was kind to children and animals. And she knew him as a child, but in our play, she is a grown-up, like a 28-year-old woman who's very beautiful, and we almost are being playful about her being his muse and her being in love with him and having an unrequited love. And we're being really playful with that. But she's the one that's guiding the audience from scene to scene to tell his story.
And you mentioned 10,000 varieties. We don't have that many varieties of apples today, do we?
Oh, no, we do not. In our Museum of Curious History, we're actually creating a poster of the ratio of apples from then to now. And it's something like 100 to 2, something like that. Yeah, so it's a crazy ratio on a poster. We do not have, we have 100 varieties that we're basically able to find from producers in the United States. Yeah, well, just 100 from 10,000. It's wild. You know, it was something that changed when grocery stores needed to ship and sell fruit that looked good and could last in transport. Like, that's the basic notion.
You all are wonderful at the farm in teaching us how to prepare foods, going out and getting the freshest veggies from the plots that you've nourished and then harvesting those. Do you have any sense that we'll get to learn how to make applesauce or apple fritters or anything like that in connection with this?
I think the direction we're going in with the meal, like, we always like to have some food to offer after the performance, and we decided to go in the direction of what settlers were eating then, because the story really is about his travels into the frontier. So we started to research a lot. Again, it's going to be in the museum. There's going to be recipe cards in the museum from a settler cookbook. But a lot of it was influenced from the First Nations people, the indigenous native people, right? They taught everything to the settlers. And again, Johnny Appleseed was a very interesting character because he was friendly with the native people. He was very friendly and had many stories. You hear that he was accepted by them because they saw in him someone that was closer to them than the other white settlers. Yeah, so he was allowed in. And one of our scenes is kind of the climax of the play is when he comes upon an Indian village that he once visited and there's no one there anymore. And it's a pretty powerful scene where he discovers what's happened. It's, you know, a slaughter. And he has this kind of crisis of questioning what he's been doing. And that's a bit of the fiction we're going towards, but we know that happened, and we know that Johnny Appleseed was a part of it, and we also know he was a very spiritual man who was also friendly with the native people. So we're kind of putting two and two together to come up with that part of our story. And so we are making, for the final meal with the audience and actors, a succotash. And we're using vegetables. We're using the corn and the beans that we know were a part of a succotash that Lenape people and other tribes were making, but we're going to add our own vegetables from the farm. So we're going to make it a will-o-wisp succotash and sort of bring those two elements together.
Tell us more about what you'd like us to know, and then tell us how we can take part.
So the performance, Johnny Appleseed and Historical Fantasia, is going to open Thursday, July 30th, and it will run for 2 weeks. And we're going to perform Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, those days of the week, for 2 weeks until August 9th. And Farm Arts Collective is the producer, and people can buy tickets by going online. Usually the final shows tend to sell out. So we encourage people to buy their tickets sooner than later. And the ticket includes a lovely meal, and it's an ambulatory performance. So it starts at our agricultural center, where we'll have our museum, we'll have chairs set up, but then we're going to go for a walk and see the performance and then come back to the agricultural center and have some food and conversation. And it's a lovely community event. It's going to be a lovely performance. I'm really pleased with the show this year. It's been so much fun to build the show. We're all working really well. We had a great story early on, so there's not been a lot of pressure and pain to figure out the ending. You know, it's just been a really delightful process to build this show, and fun to learn about Johnny Appleseed. And, you know, we can always look at ourselves when looking at history, right? We do that. I think we all do that naturally, so it's an opportunity to look at ourselves. America 250 supported this, and through the National Endowment for the Arts. And so it's a great opportunity. And, you know, patriotism can mean many different things. And to me, it's like, let's look at ourselves. Let's never stop looking at ourselves.
We're talking about someone who walked and walked and walked, and you're helping us walk and walk and walk, right?
Exactly. This is the perfect walking show because Johnny Appleseed just walked over 100,000 miles in his lifetime. That's wild. Barefoot.
And give us the website.
Sure. It's www.farmartscollective.org. Showtime is 7, but the door opens at 6:30, so people can come and look at that museum. And it's kind of a great thing to do before seeing the show because you might get a bit more context for what we're presenting in that traveling performance.
Tanis Kowalczyk. She is founder and artistic director of the Farm Arts Collective, and she is the director of the upcoming roving theater adventure, Johnny Appleseed, an historical fantasia, part of the Dream on the Farm series at Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. The show runs from July 30th to August 9th, Thursdays to Sundays. As Tanis just suggested, the doors open at 6:30 to explore the Museum of Curious History, and showtime is at 7. And this year's Dream on the Farm performance is part of America 250 National Endowment for the Arts programming. Following each performance, the audience is invited to a reception with farm fresh food and refreshments. We heard Tanis describe the succotash, and it will be a delight. And that will give you time to talk about what you've just experienced. The Farm Arts Collective, 38 Hickory Lane in Damascus, Pennsylvania, in Wayne County, on Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm. The website, farmartscollective.org, farmartscollective.org. And once again, it is a performance of Johnny Appleseed, an historical fantasia, an original production running July 30th to August 9th, Thursdays to Sundays, doors opening at 6:30, showtime 7 o'clock, and again, it's in Damascus, Pennsylvania, on the Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm, farmartscollective.org, farmartscollective.org.